We'll invite you to turn with me into the passage we read earlier, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. My desire this morning is to bring before you verses 12 through to 14. Verses 12 through to 14. We just read that text again. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter around AD 61. And it is thought that Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians nearer the end of his two-year Roman imprisonment. And so Paul is in prison, possibly chained to a Roman guard, locked up, and he's living in poor conditions as a prisoner and with the expectation of facing execution. And yet, in the midst of his imprisonment, Paul writes to the Philippian believers to somewhat encourage them and to foster and to produce a deep-seated joy within their own hearts and to keep on living and pursuing a godly, sanctified life. But this morning, I want to focus on just one of the many themes that runs through this book. And it's the theme of pressing on, or making progress. And we first see this theme in chapter 1, verse 12. And Paul writes, he says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Again, progress. The word advance the gospel. What had happened to Paul in his Roman imprisonment, suffering, persecution, and yet in the midst of it all, the positive is that it served the advance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The spreading of the good news continued to move forward. Well, secondly, we see that this same theme, the same tone of making progress in verse 25. He says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all, and the reason for this, for your progress and joy in the faith. And thirdly, our text this morning speaks to us of pressing on in the Lord. From the time that the Apostle Paul was regenerated by God the Holy Spirit, and as he was given the very gifts of repentance and faith on the Damascus Road, from that time on, the Apostle Paul pressed on in the Lord Jesus Christ. He resolved in his own life, because Christ had laid hold of him. And so the future for Paul, after his conversion, he could do no more than press on in Christ. And that is the same for me, and that is the same for you, brothers and sisters, who know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. The Lord calls us this morning to press on in the Lord. And so my title for this sermon is Passing Over the Past and Pressing Forward. And firstly, I want us to see in verse 12, the Apostle Paul is resolved. He is resolved to press on. He says, doesn't he, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Before Paul determines that he must press on in the faith, he first declares his own awareness of personal imperfection. If me and you are going to press on in the Lord, first we must recognise an awareness of personal imperfection. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. The verb attained simply means to get possession of. And the verb perfected means to reach perfection or to accomplish. Paul recognizes that he has not attained possession of something. And he is not in a state of complete perfection. He recognizes that as a man in Christ, that he's not a perfect man. But what's the subject at hand? Well, he's aware of his own spiritual condition. And he's aware that his own spiritual condition is not perfected, as it were. And the reason why Paul may be writing this is the Philippians, the Christians at Philippi, may have encountered false teachers, namely the Judaizers, who could have taught them that obtaining perfection in this life is attainable by keeping the law and by circumcision. But Paul says, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who will take the flesh. Perfection, brothers and sisters, complete perfection cannot be reached in this life. That's why we await our glorification. When we will be freed from the very presence of sin. And we are talking about Paul here, right? The apostle of Christ. One who is considered by many as probably the greatest Christian that had lived. And he is affirming that perfection is not attainable in this life. This is Paul we're talking about. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But what of his incompleteness? What is he aware of? And brothers and sisters, what are you aware of in your own lives that you know and feel of your personal imperfection? Because in order to press on, we need to come to the understanding that you must be aware of the need of continued growth in Christ-likeness, in holiness. He says, doesn't he, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among brothers. whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to his image. That's what we desire, isn't it? We should desire in Christ to be conformed to the image of Christ. Paul had been called by God. He had been regenerated. He had been given the gifts of repentance and faith. He received a new mind and a heart and new desires for Christ. He's been justified, declared just by his Maker and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Christ's righteousness has been imputed to him. And the Apostle Paul has been adopted into the family of God. But still, there is a need to grow in the grace of God. The sanctification that began at regeneration continues throughout the believer's life. And we call it progressive sanctification. Or we could say growth in holiness. Growth to know Christ more. And so Paul is honest. And he's aware of his own weaknesses and struggles with sin. He knows he's not a perfect man. He knows he's not a perfect man. It says in Romans chapter 7. Verse 14, he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in the flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. And he struggles with sin. He also is aware and desires to know Christ deeper. In verse 10 of Philippians chapter 3, it says, doesn't it, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That is his desire. And is that your desire this morning? That you would know him and the power of his resurrection? He desires the power of Christ's resurrection to be working in his life in order to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. So that he's able to put off his old self and the deeds of the flesh and to flee temptation. And so, brothers and sisters, are you aware of your own need? Are you aware that you still are in the need to grow up into salvation and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? Or do you think you have already attained perfectionism? And if the answer is yes, I tell you, you are deceived. You are deceived. Solomon says, there is no one who does not sin. A mature believer recognizes this. He recognizes he is in need of Christ and the power to work in their lives more and more. Our response to this should be to cry out like Paul, should it not, before the Lord. Not that I have already attained or I am already perfect. That should be our cry to the Lord. So Paul is aware of his personal imperfection. But also Paul's active. Paul's active desire is to progress. And we see secondly in our verse 12, don't we not, Paul's active desire to progress. What's he saying? He says, but I press on. I press on that I may lay hold of that which for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. In light of Paul's awareness of his imperfection, Paul doesn't get stuck there. Some do. Some bury their heads in the sand. Some come to a point of complete despair, which can result in somewhat passive behaviour, lack of zeal, despondency, self-pity. But not for Paul. Paul is resolved to press on in Christ. The King James Version says to follow after. And it conveyed the idea of one who is in a race, who runs swiftly to reach the goal, to reach the end. Is this your desire this morning, dear friend? If you know your need, your desire from the heart to press on in the Lord, does your soul pant for God? Does your soul cry out for the living God? Do you desire to follow after righteousness? Do you want to know Him more? Do you want to know Christ more? Do you desire to follow in His ways? Then He says to us, press on. Press on, brothers and sisters. Run after the Christ. He's saying, yes, I know I'm not perfected. That's his humble summary of his life. I'm not perfected, but the only thing I can do is press on in the Lord. That is what he's resolved to do. But what's the reason for this pressing on? He says that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. That I may lay hold, meaning to seize. That's what it means. It means to take possession of. But of what? For which Christ has laid hold of me? What was it that Christ has laid hold of Paul or apprehended? And what was it that Paul resolved to lay hold of and apprehend? Well, in the general sense, Paul desired to press on in the will of God. Paul's resolve is to press on in what the Lord Jesus Christ wanted for his life. Paul is saying, what Christ has laid hold of me, that's exactly what I'm going to run after. And it all started from his conversion on the Damascus Road. But Christ revealed himself to Paul. Where Christ laid hold of Paul. He laid hold of his heart and mind to follow Christ for the rest of his days. Christ laid hold of Paul's will. Christ laid hold of the sufferings he would endure. Christ laid hold of Paul to be conformed to his image. Christ seized Paul and the whole of his life to his lordship. And this caused Paul by faith to press on. To press on in spiritual growth and attain to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 11. Paul didn't have this mentality to let go and let God. You heard that expression? No, he resolved to press on in the Lord. Christ laid hold of Paul And Paul's response was to lay hold of his Saviour's will in every way for his life. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We are to be resolved, brothers and sisters, to press on. Press on, beloved. Well, we see, secondly, in verse 13, resolve to forget and pursue forward. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul simply repeats and affirms that he does not count himself to have apprehended. Once again, he just repeats it. He's reinforcing this truth to the Philippians, because they may have experienced those false teachers of declaring perfectionism. Paul says, I have not apprehended yet. And this is the Apostle Paul we're talking about, don't forget. Think of all the blessings he's received, and the spiritual growth that has been given to him by the Lord's grace. But he says, but one thing I do. But one thing I do. The words I do are not in the original language. The text literally reads, one thing. One thing. The one thing that Paul desires and does, and also wants the Philippians to do, and also you here at Hailsham Baptist Church, is to be solely focused to pursue forward in Christ. And this is the will of God for them, to grow in Christ's likeness, to grow spiritually, to know Christ more. I think of Paul's words here, one thing. Not many things. Not a bit of this and a bit of that. But Paul is single-minded upon the one goal in his life. And he's pursuing it. And he's pursuing the goal to be like Christ, and to make his direction in life for Christ, in the will of Christ. He wants Christ because he loves Christ, because Christ first loved him. There's no other pursuit for Paul. There's no other goal. Everything else is secondary to Paul. The one thing that he is resolved to do, it's to grow in spiritual maturity. And me and you don't need to be like this. Or has something else crept in your life that you seem as to be as primary? But as take the word here, but one thing. What should be primary in our lives, brothers and sisters, is Christ. To know him more deeply. That is our primary desire. We need to have that desire within our hearts to grow in spiritual maturity. We must have that one ultimate goal, and that is to pursue Christ's likeness. What did Paul say in Philippians further back? He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, If you're not living for Christ, then you're not living. There's no other pursuit for Paul, no other goal. So how does this one thing in Paul's life of sanctification look like? Well, we see that Paul has an absolute mindedness of the past. Look what it says. Forgetting those things which are behind. There's one thing he does. He resolves, one thing he does in his life, one thing he's resolved in his life to do, is forgetting. And also, in reaching forward to those things which are ahead. There are two things there. Firstly, let's consider that first thing of forgetting. Firstly, the Lord wants us to know that we should be a people who forget the past, or what is behind us. The Lord wants us to forget those things that would hinder us from running the race and pursuing forward. That's what He wants. When you're in a race, you don't want to be looking behind you, do you? Because you're going to either slow up or you're going to fall flat in your face. God wants us to look forward. But what are those things that could be hindering you from pressing on, dear friend? What are those things in the past that seem to dominate your thinking and to hinder you from pressing on in the Lord? Because if you're not pressing on, then there's something that's stopping you pressing on in Christ and growing in Christ's likeness and pursuing spiritual growth, as it were, by His grace and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I think we could say past sins and failures. This can be a reality for the Christian. Are you dwelling upon past sins and failures that have already been dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary? Maybe, dear friend, you're dwelling on personal sins that you have committed. They have grieved you because you know they have grieved the one true and living God. But you know you're forgiven in Christ. You have confessed and repented and trusted upon the Christ by faith alone. But still, they hinder you from moving forward in the Lord. You get stuck there in some sort of despondency. And acts as if there's no hope for you to press on. Because you're always dwelling on your past failures. And let's be real, brothers and sisters. The preacher has past failures and past sins. And so do you. We all have pasts. And the problem is we have guilt. And guilt seems and can hinder you from pressing on in the Lord. But Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. He understands the Lord has said, I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. He doesn't look back. They have been dealt with in the Lord. Finished. Gone. Removed. You are washed in the blood of Christ. My son, your sins are forgiven you. He's not looking back. What did Jesus say? He said, No one having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Paul's not looking back. He's stretching forward in Christ. What else could be hindering you? Maybe it's the sins of others that seem to be hindering you from pressing on in the Lord. Man has wronged you. Committed all sorts of evil against you, maybe. Even Christians have spoken ungodly things and sinned against you in some sort of way. It's a possibility. And in your heart, you harbour still these things. You just can't seem to move on in the Lord and grow in spiritual maturity from what you have experienced. To forgive and to forget and to leave it with the Lord. Leave it with the Lord and press on in Christ. That's what he's telling us. Think about all that Christ endured on the earth. Continued opposition from every angle of his life. But he pressed on. He pressed on to that very primary mission that he had. And that was to die for his people. So is this you? Is there something in your past that you do need to just press on in? You need to forget that bit and press on in the Lord. Because you know you've been washed and cleansed. He's saying press on. He's forgetting what is the past. Now he's not saying that you will be able to attain complete forgetfulness. No, we still have memories, right? But what he is saying is that if anything that's hindering you from pressing on, that is the thing that you should forget. And if there's something continually grieving you and giving you pain in the soul, you must bring it before the Lord in confession. There may be sin there that's unconfessed. But you must confess in the Lord and repent. And then you're able to move forward. That may be your case. Who knows? The Lord knows. But also what else is in the past? Past successes, right? We have past successes in our life. Yeah? But we can also dwell on them too much. That would hinder us from pursuing forward. You know, I've heard many people say, and I've probably said it myself, and you kind of look back in your past and you see past successes, and you go, oh, remember the good old days in 19s, whatever. Yeah? We speak like this sometimes. If only we would go back, if we would live in those times again, sometimes we think that it'd be all good. And that can hinder you from pressing on in the Lord in your current state, your present state today. You keep looking back at past successes. John MacArthur writes, he says, Others try to survive in the present by reliving past successes. Is this you? Is this you? Are you surviving on the past? And in the process, your pursuit of Christ's likeness and spiritual maturity and for the prize has actually grown cold. The runner who dwells on past wins won't be ready for the current one. Run, brothers and sisters, as though you're in the present. Press on in the Lord. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. He is forgetting those things that is behind, and he's reaching forward. And so, what do you need to forget in your own personal life? Well, may God help you to forget what needs to be forget in order for you to press on. Well, we see in the text that Paul's pursuit is to move ahead. To move ahead. And he says the thing, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. The word reaching contains the idea, brothers and sisters, that we should be those who are stretching out. Stretching out forward. And again, Paul uses this imagery of a runner. And it's a picture of a runner with every effort. He's stretching forward to the goal that is ahead. This is Paul's resolve to stretch out in pursuit to know more of Christ, and that he would be able to grow in Christ and in godliness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And just to be clear, Paul is not saying that it's by his own effort here. No, no way. But he writes in verse 12, doesn't he? It's because Christ has laid hold of him. In other words, Christ has made me his own, he is saying. And because of that, because he has been changed by the glorious gospel, he is now resolved to pursue Christ in his life. That is Paul's goal. And is that your goal here this morning? We're not going to have any excuses after. To press on in the Lord. To press on in the Lord. What is it that you need to bring before God Almighty to help you press on in Christ? That you would grow in spiritual maturity. And you would know his very beauty and the excellence of him in your life. Because harping on the past, brothers and sisters, is going to stunt your growth. We are to confess, and we are to bring everything before the Lord, confess our sins, and repent of them. But what he has forgiven, there you are able to pursue forward. And sometimes we have difficult circumstances and situations in our lives that the past just kept creeping up behind us. And sometimes we desire to pursue for the Lord and move forward in Him in the will of the Lord. And sometimes the past comes creeping up behind. And this can make us actually quite sad. When this happens. But when the word of the Lord comes and he says, I press on. And we know that the Lord wants us to press on. Even though the past may be surrounding us, as it were. And we may see things and it may trigger past sins and past thoughts and past grievances and past sufferings and past afflictions, whatever it may be, the Lord still wants us to press on in Him. Don't let any man hinder you to press on in the Lord. Don't let anything in your life hinder you from pressing in on Christ. Think about all that Paul went through in his life. All the suffering and the persecution that he endured. You can read it in Corinthians. It's a long old list there. I won't read it because we haven't got time, because I'm running out. And yet in the midst of that, the grace of God was in his life. How can a man who goes through those things continue to press on in Christ? It's by the grace of God. The grace of God was in his life. And my grace is sufficient for thee. For my power is made perfect in weakness. The grace of God was in his life. And he was able to keep pressing on towards the goal, the prize. And that's what we're going to see in our last heading, resolve to reach the prize. And I must press on myself because I'm running out of time. But Paul says in verse 14, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's resolved. And he is fixed. He is fixed to press forward the goal. And brothers and sisters, there may be a dissatisfaction in your heart. And that dissatisfaction may be that you desire to know more of Christ and grow in spiritual holiness and personal holiness. Oh, but that's a good dissatisfaction, that you want to grow in Christ. They might be the desire of your heart, oh Lord, that I would know you more. Is that us? Is that us in our, when we're in our studies, when we're on our beds and we're crying out before the Lord, when we're in our knees, oh Lord, that I would know you more. That I would know the very power of your resurrection. That's all we desire. That's a good satisfaction. And Paul has that. He desires to know him more. He's resolved to press forward. Toward the goal, the prize. What's the prize? The prize is Christ, to know him fully. And when will this happen, brothers and sisters? When the upward call of God in Christ Jesus comes. When God Almighty will call his children up to heaven. And we will see him there in all of his splendor. And we will be like him. We will see him and we will be like him. When we enter into his very presence and spend an eternity with Christ, then we will know we will never be plagued by sin again. And all sin would be gone from us. That's Christ. When we will meet him face to face. The prize of the upward call. When Christ, in his perfect time, will indeed call his beloved to him, where we will spend eternity with him. That is the goal. That is where Paul is focused upon. To reach heaven, that he would know Christ more. So are you running? Are you running towards that goal, to that prize, where all sin will be gone, and where we will be glorified? That is the goal, brothers and sisters. The goal is nothing else. Everything else is secondary. The goal is to press forward to glory. Beloved, 1 John chapter 3, verses 2-3 says, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him, listen to this, purifies himself. Spiritual maturity, growth in Christ. Just as he is pure. What a blessing to end on that. And so I leave you with these words. Are you running towards the prize like Paul did, with all zeal, passion and fervency and resolve? I trust after this word this morning that if you need to be renewed, then let the grace of God renew your strength to press forward in him. Paul didn't let anything get in the way of running towards the prize. No difficulty, no amount of oppression. Paul said no to the devil and yes to Christ. And he counted all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, his Lord. And what will it be with you today? What will it be for you today? Will you resolve and settle on a course of action to pass over the past and press forward in Christ? Amen.